Welcome to another episode of Feathercast. Those of you that listen frequently know that we've taken a month off because of ApacheCon, and we were busy with that. And so now we're back, and our first interview back is with Chris Dutz of the PLC4X project. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So those of you that listen know that I always ask the hard, deep delving questions. And so I got to start with this one. What's up with Toddy?
Yeah, well, Toddy is sitting on my window bench here. So Toddy says hi.
And of course, Toddy is the mascot and the logo of the project. And what is he? Is he like a meerkat?
He's a palm civet. So I was looking for a mascot with a name that has a P, an L, and a C in it. That was sort of pelican or a palm civet. And let's say I don't feel that attached to pelicans, but I love the palm civet.
Tell us about this project and what it does. I mean, we can all read the description on the website, but tell us what it actually does in the real world and who would use this.
Yeah, well, in general, let's say private people will probably only in very sort of limited amount use this. But for the industry, it's actually a vital part because sort of in the past few years, everything's sort of about this industry 4.0. And if you start digging what that means, it's sort of like processing huge amounts of production data. Well, the problem that most people are forgetting here is that actually accessing this data on these machines, you can see behind me, I've got my little demo factory, and it's fully equipped with this industrial hardware, and they just don't use protocols that we're used to. So it's currently very difficult to access these machines. It's getting better with newer machines, but they're currently really hard to get with all this problems in production. You can generally expect that more than 90% of the devices out there just don't speak any protocol that we use to. Yeah. And PLC4X is trying to close that gap.
That hardware that you have behind you, I have a couple of questions about it. Is it typical for that to be custom per industry? Do people like build it themselves, or are they consistent across a particular industry?
Each vendor has their own systems, and they are usually not compatible with each other because that sort of would be silly from their point of view. In general, it's sort of like, every vendor has their products, and they're used throughout the world. So if I, for example, get an S7 from Siemens, that will be the same everywhere on the planet. The devices themselves, they usually differ quite greatly between each other.
Tell us some user stories. Where are these actually used in the real world? What sort of industries use this kind of stuff and use your code specifically?
I would say all industries use it. I started PLC4X as I wanted to enable the small businesses that just couldn't afford the huge price tags on stuff the industry was asking for. But in the end, it turned out we had contracts in the biggest car manufacturers, huge pharmaceutical companies. We even had one of the biggest aerospace companies that asked for support with using PLC4X. So I would say we've seen it from steel melting plants to pharmaceutical companies. Wherever there is a machinery, in the past, you usually custom-built circuits. Well, in the past, let's say, till Second World War or shortly after that, sort of they were custom-built. But today, usually a PLC is shipped, and that is a standard component. So everything that is automated by one of these standard components, well, you can use.
Is PLC4X becoming sort of an industry standard, or is this still something that industries don't really talk to each other about?
Yeah, that's sort of our biggest pain point, because we can see from the emails on our mailing list that it's coming from all over the place and all sizes of companies, but they're super protective about who they are and what they're doing. Sometimes it's just me sort of like, this name, let me Google that, or let me have a look on LinkedIn. So, oh, that company, so that's interesting. So they usually don't even use their company email addresses to ask questions for support. They usually use their sort of like private Google Mail email addresses. But yeah, we can definitely see it's been used all over the place. But the thing is, we're sort of like in other areas of software, we're not really able to get people to talk about what they're doing with it.
So if you are a PLC for X user, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your stories and you know, how you're using this and how it's making your life easier and how it's saving you money and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and speaking about saving money, so maybe just to give you the audience an impression on how much money you could actually save. So I had a proof of concept that I did for a large pharmaceutical company where we managed to give them real-time access to production data. So their data scientists could actually work with the data that was produced, because FDA regulations usually require companies to really lock down their production environments. And let's face it, data scientists, they work best if you give them data. And we were able to do that. They could save up to 100,000 euros in license costs per machine per year. And in another proof of concept, we even outperformed the industry standard solution by a factor of 1,200. So we were 1,200 times more performant while having absolutely no license costs. So in that project, it would actually have boiled down to 180 million euros in license costs they could have saved. But then we usually had the problems that we then had to face the shopping departments. Mm-hmm. They usually are very afraid that they sort of lose their benefits with their preferred vendors or managers that are really scared of losing budget. Because if you're used to sort of like buying an industry standard solution and paying 100,000 for that, well, that's 100,000 of budget you get to decide about. If you decide to go open source, that 100,000 goes down to zero, or let's say 10,000. So if you do that, well, next year you get your budget cut. So people are actually really afraid of going the open source path because it's so cheap, because they're afraid they can never leave from there again due to budget costs. Yeah.
I notice on your website, and this is something I look for all Apache projects that I talk to, and you call this out specifically, and this is all the other Apache projects that you interact with. Tell us about that and your relationship with these other projects.
Yeah, when I started, or before I even started Apache PLC for X, I really wanted to do this industry 4.0 stuff. And I knew we had all this great software, especially at Apache, that we could actually do this stuff with. But the thing was, we couldn't access the data. So, I decided, I have to sort of build that adapter first. But it was always clear that this data has to go somewhere. You usually don't use PLC for X on its own. You can write your own application. But usually today, it's not that typical anymore. So you usually integrate that into Apache NiFi, for example, and model your data pipelines, or you use Apache Camel. We had Apache Agent, which is now retired, or even Apache Kafka. We have a Kafka Connect adapter that sort of pumps data from a PLC directly into a Kafka cluster. So we've got a lot of integration modules, and we're always trying to reach out to new projects. I usually stumble over at Apache Cons or something like that. So I'm really trying to get other projects so we can provide a service for them to offer a service to the industry. Because let's face it, the connectivity part is important, but the real work will be done with all the projects on top. So this year, I also tried reaching out to Linux Foundation and Eclipse Foundation because they've also got interesting projects. And I'm really trying to sort of weave a web of projects that sort of like work together a bit more.
Now, the project has been at Apache for about 2 years. And I noticed that during that time, you've had, what, 11, 12 releases. The most recent one was about 2 months ago. What's coming next? Is the next version going to be 0.10, or are you on a 1.0, or
yeah,
what's coming next?
Yeah, we're still working on the 0.10 because we're currently sort of like fleshing out some new APIs, and we know they're going to change a bit. And especially we're currently completely renovating our code generation framework that we build all these drivers with, because PLC4X doesn't just offer drivers for Java. That was how it started. Mm-hmm. But we always called it PLC4X and not PLC4J, because we always aimed at multiple languages. So we have a code generation framework that generates sort of 90% of the driver code currently in Java, in Go, in C. C# is already on its way, and the community is sort of like getting started on Python, Rust, and TypeScript. So a lot is going to be happening, and everyone's welcome to participate, because let's face it, I on my own can't build drivers in 20 languages. That's where we need the community for.
So I was going to ask you about the name and the 4X bit, and you just covered that. But what brought you into this whole area in the first place?
First of all, I'm the son of an electrical engineer. So I grew up as a kid with my dad always bringing back these sort of like huge boxes. I mean, that S7 back there, that's tiny, but that was sort of like as big as a box of beer in the 80s. So I always enjoyed sort of watching him do things that had an effect on the real world.
Yeah.
And then in contrast, me and my IT job here near Frankfurt, going to one stupid bank after the other, always doing the same stuff that just didn't give me a sense of purpose. So I enjoyed things happening in the real world. And when this Industry 4.0 stuff came out, say, hey, I can do all of this cool stuff.
Yeah.
But do something good. So that was what sort of got me hooked on that topic.
If someone else is interested in getting involved here, what kind of skills do they need? What expertises are you looking for as a project?
I have to admit, I couldn't even characterize the typical contributor. If I just have a look at our current community, we have some hardcore coders. We have some people that describe themselves as PowerPoint DJs. There are some people that even say they're not coders, but they're currently implementing huge amounts of drivers. Even without coding, because we have this cool code generation framework. Sometimes it's just important if somebody just helps curating our website or just brings some inside information, some insights that we, or it's just testing stuff, or reports back, hey, I've used your code and we've had this and that problem and this and that situation. So I think there's a vast amount of different ways you can contribute to the project. And I think we're a very welcoming project. So we all know there are these projects where you have to sort of like submit pull requests for something near 10 years or so until you get invited. So that usually happens a lot faster with us, because we believe that everybody has something to bring. We try to enable people to be able to bring what they can. We also don't have that many strict rules that some other projects might have. So we're actually a quite fun place to contribute.
If somebody wanted to participate in the project but didn't have your vast array of hardware there, how does one test code contributions in a meaningful way if you don't have the, you know, all of the test lab that you got there?
Yeah, well, I think most of our contributors don't even have PLCs. I think one of the second most active contributor, I think he doesn't have a single PLC. But we built a unit test and integration test framework that allows us to sort of, for example, if somebody has the real hardware, you can sort of like do a recording of what happens with the real hardware. And it's able to sort of mimic what the real hardware did. So somebody without real hardware can sort of at least see if something changed by his changes. And you can sort of, it's easily readable. Okay, most people say XML sort of sucks, but I have to admit, I love it. So our unit test framework is mainly based on XML. And the cool thing is it's just portable. So you just write one unit test in our XML framework, and you can run it on every platform that in Java, Go, whatever we have. Cool. It automatically runs on all these.
Now, other than seeing you at ApacheCon, where else can we get in touch with your community?
Yeah, well, right now, I usually sort of like submit talks at least to every conference I come across. For obvious reasons, we didn't have any on-site meetings with community for the last few years or 2 years. We really hope that's probably going to change next year. So usually everything in our community happens on our mailing list. That's dev at plc4x.apache.org. We usually hang out on Slack, on the Apache Slack channel, PLC4X, but that's sort of where we tend to hang out and sort of like have fun chats and sort of like at least keep a bit of a feeling that we're a community that's working on something together without the all the technical blah, blah. So if you want to join, I strongly suggest just join us on the Apache Slack channel or sign up for the mailing list. That's where all the magic happens at Apache.
Well, thank you so much for taking this time to talk with us about this project. And, you know, it's clear as an outside observer that your community is very welcoming and enjoys a bit of fun. And so it sounds like a great place for, sounds like a great place for people to get involved. And, We hope that we can get the word out with this. Thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.